You got to hold on. Zechariah chapter 8. It's in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Find Matthew and turn left a few books, you'll find it. Zechariah 8, 20 through 23. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. And the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, "Let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going." And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, "Let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you." Lord, we take hold of you today. We have heard that God is with you. Help us to know you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was reading Zechariah this week during my Bible reading time, and I got to chapter 8, verse 23, and that really stuck out to me. It really jumped off the page. I knew I wanted to preach that. Ten people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe. I didn't know exactly what it meant at the time, but I had had some ideas, and I knew I wanted to speak on it. So I started investigating. I started researching and thinking about what I was going to say. I started thinking about holding firm, about holding on. You got to hold on. So I got my outline done and knew about what I wanted to say, and I started to really research that term, hold on. You got to hold on. And I came across a website while I was doing this of 45 songs that are entitled Hold On. Apparently there's not too much creativity when it comes to song titles. 45 songs that have the title Hold On. Now Zechariah, he is a prophet poet, and 8:23 is a poem. It is a song, if you will. He might have even entitled his Hold On. Maybe, maybe not. So I started looking at these 45 modern songs, fairly modern songs, and I wanted to see how they stacked up, compared, contrasted to Zechariah's Hold On song. So I looked up some of these songs, and I'm going to read five or six here, some of the lyrics. And you tell me, or you tell yourself, how they stack up to Zechariah's Hold On song. The first was by a group named Wilson Phillips. Anybody remember Wilson Phillips? Three-lady group back in the early 90s. They have a song called Hold On. It says, "I know there's pain. Why do you lock yourself up in these chains? No one can change your life except for you. Don't ever let anyone step all over you. Just open your heart and your mind. Is it really fair to feel this way inside? Someday somebody is going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Until then, baby." "Are you going to let them hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know that things can change, things will go your way, if you hold on one more day." I don't know if Zechariah would, the baby part would have probably taken Zechariah out of it. So, another artist named Michael Bublé, is that how you say his name, Michael Bublé? Or if you watch the kids' show, there's a Michael Blue Jay. I like that. I don't know the kids' shows. He has a song called Hold On. He says, "There's so many dreams that we have given up. Take a look at all we've got. And with this kind of love and what we've got, here is enough. So hold on tight to me. Hold on. I promise it'll be all right, 'cause we are stronger here together. than we could ever be alone. Just hold on to me. Oh, no, I don't want that one either. The Jonas Brothers. Do you remember the Jonas Brothers? You thought they would last forever. They didn't. They have a song called Hold On. I watched the video of this. I regret that, but oh well. In fact, the opening line is, we don't have time to regret, hold on. It will take more than common sense, hold on. So stop your wondering, take a stand, hold on. There's more to life than just to live. Hold on, whatever that means. One of my favorite was by Donny Osmond. You remember him? Look him up, anybody under the age of 40, I would say. All right. His video was, if you want a good laugh this afternoon, look up Donny Osmond, Hold On, and watch that video, because he was dressed up like a mixture of Bruce Springsteen and Michael Jackson. It was incredible. Anyway, he says, sometimes love can bring you down. You just don't know what's wrong from right. It gets tough to turn around, and maybe it's not worth the fight. Well, think twice before you throw it away. Just open your heart to what I've got to say. Hold on to what we've got. Don't let it go, because we've got a lot. And you got to hear Donny Osmond sing that. Wasn't too impressed with those songs, but I came to one song by the group called the Alabama Shakes. They had a song called Hold On, and I think Zachariah may have liked this song. I don't know. It's not a contemporary Christian song. It is a southern blues rock song, and I debated, should I play that song for them? Should I not play it? So I'm going to play it, but I'll just read you a couple of lyrics here. From Alabama Shakes, Hold On. It says, bless my heart, bless my soul, didn't think I'd make it to 22 years old. There must be someone up above saying, come on, Brittany, that's the name of the singer, you got to come on up, you got to hold on, you got to hold on. Then she starts singing about, you got to wait, but I don't want to wait. And then she concludes with, you got to hold on. So Alabama Shakes, Hold On. Yeah. You got to hold on. I believe that's what Zechariah was telling the people of Israel, the exiles. Let's look at what Zechariah, the prophet, poet, had to say. Number one in your bulletins. Zechariah the prophet appears on the scene in 520 BC at a crossroads in Israel's history. Zechariah the prophet appears on the scene in 520 BC at the crossroads of Israel's history. In 586 BC, Babylon, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, had destroyed Jerusalem and had taken most of his inhabitants of Jerusalem into exile. But God had promised through various prophets that the people would return back home. He would bring them back. And this began to happen in 539 B.C., about 50 years later. But this time under the Persians, they had defeated the Babylonians. The Persian king Cyrus allowed the Jewish people to return home, the exiles to return home to rebuild the temple. And they were thrilled at first. They were excited at first. They were getting to go back home. They were getting to leave exile. They were getting to go back to the home of their roots. But like most things, when you start something, it gets difficult. And they had internal problems. They had external problems, opposition. And they were building the temple, but because of these problems, it caused the construction work to stop. And it stopped for years until the second year of King Darius. A new king had come into power. And that's where Zechariah comes in. He and his contemporaries, Haggai and Zerubbabel, they began to encourage the Jewish people that had come back from exile to finish what they had started, to finish the temple. So construction restarts in the year 520 BC. They have been back for about 20 years now, and the project is still not done. It has stopped. But in 520 under Zechariah and Haggai and Ezra and Zerubbabel, they begin to rebuild again, and the temple was completed in 515 B.C. That's what the book of Zechariah is about, the first eight chapters especially, Zechariah 1 through 8. These are the prophecies. These are the prophetic poems. These are the prophetic songs that help reestablish Israel as a nation, help them to be a just and worshiping community. These exiles learning how to live again as the people of God, Zechariah is teaching them, especially in light of the temple being rebuilt. Then you get to Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. It's a prophetic passage that did not come to fulfillment completely in Zechariah's time. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, "Let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you." Powerful people, powerful nations had not yet come to Jerusalem. Zechariah said they will, but they have not done this yet. Only a fourth of the Jewish exiles, according to some studies, had returned to Jerusalem. How can we expect nations and Gentiles and kings and powers to come to Jerusalem when only a fourth of the Jewish exiles had returned? Not many people wanted to come back to a still much in ruined Jerusalem, downtrodden city like Jerusalem. And here's Zechariah prophesying that people, that languages and nations, Gentiles, people are going to flock into Jerusalem. In fact, 10-to-1 ratio, they're going to grab hold to this one Jewish person and say, "We want to go with you." But God promised through Zechariah a redemption so great that one day the people shall yet come to this glorified city. It doesn't look glorified right now. It's barely in the rebuilding process, but it's going to happen. In chapter 1, verse 1, we're told that of Zechariah, Zechariah, we're given his ancestry there. Zechariah, his name means Jehovah remembers, or God remembers. In chapter 1, verse 1, we're told his father's name was Barakiah, which means God, Jehovah blesses. We're even told his grandfather's name is Iddo. It means the appointed time. So this cluster of names, Jehovah remembers, Jehovah blesses, appointed time, Zechariah put it in there on purpose to encourage these exiles that the things he's about to tell them are going to happen. These clusters of names are meant to encourage people who had no reason to be encouraged, that God will remember them, that God will bless them at the appointed time. What do they have to do? Well, you got to hold on, is what Zechariah will tell them. So when is the appointed time? When is God going to bless? God going to show, bring these people in, these nations in to this glorified city? When does this happen? Number two. Jesus. Jesus is what we are to look for. Jesus is what we are to look for. Zechariah gave seven criteria that would describe the days that he was anticipating, when these nations and the people and the glorified city is going to be open, and when they're going to flock to God. The new temple was great. Excited about that. A fourth of the exiles coming back. It's not perfect, but it's better than what we were. But there's still a day to come that Zechariah is anticipating that is going to be better, and he gives us seven criteria, seven signs that you, if you will, of what this day would look like. And we believe, I believe, and I believe Scripture teaches that Jesus is the fulfillment of what Zechariah was waiting for. So the seven signs here. A Jewish man, they're going to grab a hold of this Jewish man by the hem of his garment. And the gospel writers make it clear that Jesus was known as a Jewish man. John chapter 4, verse 9, Jesus at that well with that Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman." So you are a Jewish man, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? He couldn't hide it. He was Jewish. Matthew chapter 27, verse 37. Above his head they placed the written charge against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." When Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked him, you know, "Are these charges true?" And Jesus said, "Who told you to say these things? Who encouraged you to say these things? Did the people encourage you to say these things?" And Pilate said, "Am I a Jew? Am I like you? A Jewish person? No, I'm Roman. I'm nothing like you. I'm Gentile. I'm nothing like you." B, widespread public recognition that God is with him. There's going to be this person, and this person's going to have widespread public recognition that God is with him. "Let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you." This is the sign. This is one of the criteria of when this is going to happen, Zechariah said. John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" So now we have a person on the Jewish council, a high official in the Jewish court, saying, "I believe God is with you." Zechariah says, "Whoa." Matthew 14, 32 through 33. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." I don't know if they knew exactly what they meant. I'm pretty sure they weren't thinking the third person of the Trinity, but they said, there's something about this guy. God is with him. See, a following of many people. A following of many people. This is what the Lord Almighty says, Zechariah says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of this one Jew. 10 in the scriptures is a number of completion. You'll see 10 over and over. The 10 commandments, the complete commandments, the completion of the law, large, complete, fulfilled, enough. So 10 would represent that. So we have a following of many people, of a large amount of people. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Over and over and over again throughout the scriptures, you hear about Jesus drawing large multitudes, crowds to him. John 6, 2. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. D. From a broadly Gentile context. From a broadly Gentile context. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations. When you see nations in the Hebrew Bible, written by a Jewish person, it means Gentile. the nations were the Gentiles. The Gentiles are coming in. That's what Zechariah said was going to happen. Well, did it happen? Matthew 4, 13 through 15. Jesus, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." The place where he ministered most was called Galilee of the Gentiles. Why was it called Galilee of the Gentiles? Because you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a Gentile. They were all over the place. It got the nickname Galilee of the Gentiles because there were Gentiles everywhere. Matthew 4, 23 through 25. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, the demons possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, that's very important, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. The Decapolis followed him. Decapolis. Deca, what does that mean? Deca. 10. Oh, 10. Where have I heard that before? Deca means 10. Opolis means city. 10 cities. What did you say, Zechariah? This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, "Let us go with you." 10 cities. The Decapolis is a group of 10 cities on the eastern frontier of the Roman Empire, grouped together because of their languages, because of their culture, because of their location and political status, with each functioning as its individual state. It's described as the League of Cities, the League of the Ten Cities. It is the center of Greek and Roman culture in that region. Most of the Decapolis today is a region located in modern-day Jordan, Syria, and Israel. The Decapolis, the Ten Cities, this Greek and Roman culture are gathering around to hear what this Jewish man has to say. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of this one Jewish person by the hem of his robe. What comes after Matthew chapter 4? Very good. Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew chapter 5 begins the Sermon on the Mount. These 10 cities, these 10 cities with different languages, were taught the greatest sermon that Jesus ever taught about the kingdom of God and what greatness really looks like. The Gentiles coming to him. E. Seeking after this Jewish man personally. Seeking after this Jewish man personally. Matthew 14:35. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him, which was quite unusual. You would bring the sick to a place. You would bring people to hear to a place. You would bring them to a religious system. You would bring them to a place. You would bring them to a holy place, a temple. You would bring them to a holy region, a city. But that's not what they're doing. They're coming to him personally. They're coming to a man personally. F. Touching the hem of his robe. Touching the hem of his robe. That's what Zechariah said. That's when this appointed time will be, Zechariah said. They'll hold firm to this one Jewish man by the hem of his robe. Matthew 14:36. And begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Luke 6:18-19. Who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and all the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. G. They desired to follow him. They desired to follow him. Zechariah said, when you see this happening, where they desire to follow this Jewish man, that's when the appointed time is. Matthew 14:13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Matthew 19:2. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. I believe Jesus is the fulfillment of Zechariah 8:23. Jesus, who he is, what he did, what he taught, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection is what we seek. He is who we seek. We believe he is alive and still drawing crowds to himself, still healing people, still having power come from him for those who are reaching out to him. Zechariah told his people, the exiles coming back home, to wait. He was telling them, you got to hold on. But now We know what we are waiting for, and we know who we are holding on to. Number three. You still with me? Hold on. All right. Jesus began this homecoming. Jesus began this homecoming. Zechariah was preaching to returning exiles. He would talk with them. He would meet with them on a daily basis. He wrote his words down in his book to record them. He was talking to a people that were coming back to Jerusalem from captivities in various parts of the Babylonian Empire and the Persian Empire. And they were coming back for a homecoming. There was no balloons up, though, and wasn't much cake, and didn't look much like a party. Everything was in ruins. But they begin to build and begin to get ready, and Zechariah began to teach that this homecoming that we're taking part in is preparing us for another homecoming. And this homecoming that is about to take place, that will take place if you hold on, if you wait, if you got to hold on, this homecoming that the world will experience will happen on a global scale. It won't just involve the Jewish people, the Jewish exiles. It will involve peoples, inhabitants of many cities, strong nations, men and women from nations of every tribe and tongue. They'll be urging one another to go to the house of the Lord, to seek the Lord, to ask of the Lord. People will take hold of the robe of this Jewish man on a ratio of 10 to 1. That had to be amazing for Zechariah's audience to hear, and they did not believe it. How was these Gentiles going to come and 10 to 1 ratio going to grab a hold of this Jewish man, this Jewish teacher, grab a hold of his robe to learn from him, to receive from him? They did not believe that, but Zechariah was preaching it. They're not even going to hold on to him. They're going to say, "We want to go with you, because we heard that Yahweh is with you. Jehovah is with you." The Gentiles didn't believe in Jehovah. They didn't believe in Yahweh. They made their gods. They made Mars, and they made all these, the Asherah poles, and they carved them out of wood, and he stays with us. But now we're going to go with God. We're going to go with this Yahweh. He's going to be our God. And he's teaching this and preaching this. They go, "Can you even believe this, what he's saying?" But the nations are going to want to know this God of grace for themselves. It is crazy. It is crazy. It is insane that you, a Gentile, are here today reaching out to a Jewish man that lived 2,000 years ago. But here we are. What Zechariah said came to fulfillment. Here we are. The people of God that were once an object of scorn among the nations, taken into exile, now become instruments of worldwide blessing, introducing people to Yahweh and saying, "Here he is, here he is. Come with him, come with him." These are the days in which we live, I believe. Brothers and sisters, my church family today, I believe this is the days that we live in. I hear people say it's bad all the time. "Oh, it's just bad out there. It's bad out there." You got to hold on. You got to wait. And you got to believe that this is the new covenant days which we live in, that Jesus brought about, which the Spirit has given to the church. And people like Peter in Acts chapter 2 can stand up and preach Christ and Christ crucified to the Parthians, to the Medes, to the Elamites, to the residents of Mesopotamia, to Judea, to Cappadocia, to Pontus, to Phrygia, to Pamphylia, to Egypt, to Libya, to Cyrene, to visitors in Rome. And it comes all the way down to us 2,000 years later. And you and I can still stand up, empowered by the Spirit, in Jesus' name. We can preach, "This is the day of fulfillment." We can preach to those in in Hong Kong and Canada and Senegal and Mexico and Michigan and Grand Rapids and Dutton and Wyoming and Cutlerville and Caledonia and Walker and Standale and Allendale and on and on and on. These are the days. These are the days of fulfillment. These are the days of the new covenant. When the nations stream to Zion, we got people saying they're going to physically go to Jerusalem. I believe it's more than that. He's covered the earth like the waters cover the sea. That we can learn who God is, and that God alone is the one who can save us. Jehovah is the only one who can save us. This is what Zechariah was prophesying about, what Jesus fulfilled and what we live in. So we desire to follow him. And we desire to keep reaching out by faith to touch the hem of his garment. We desire to keep welcoming and inviting all nations and all people and all tribes to hear the fulfillment of Zechariah's dream, Jesus Christ. Got to hold on. Somebody up above. Well, Brittany was, I liked it, but she was wrong about that. That somebody up above is with us. You got to hold on. You got to wait. And you got to believe that this is the days. And it is coming to fulfillment. So I encourage us to live for Jesus this week. You got your Living for Jesus papers and your bulletin there. What ways can you reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' robe? I know he's not physically with us like with Peter and James and John. Oh, but he's with us, sacredly, supernaturally, even probably even more so. He said, greater things you do when I send my Spirit, so his Spirit's with us. What ways? Let the Holy Spirit teach you ways to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Number two, in what ways can you follow Jesus daily? We want to go with you. You reach out and touch him because in your need. But you also say, I want to follow you because I believe you are the way. You touch him in your need. So what need do you need to reach out and touch him with? But as you do that, you say, I want to follow you because you want to learn from him and be like him. What ways can you learn from him? What ways can you follow him? And number three, in what ways can you invite others to follow Jesus? The nations, the languages, the neighbor across the street. In what ways? What can you do? What can we do? Sound good? Sounds good to me. Sound good in Facebook land? We're live. Oh. You got to hold on. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, help us to see who you are. Help us to see how important you are. Help us to believe how important you are. That you are the fulfillment of all things. That you are the one we should reach out to for our needs to be met. That you are the ones we should follow because we believe God is with you. And that you are God, and now that you are God with us. And help us to reach out to the nations. And as small as the world has gotten over the last 20, 30 years, the nations are down the street and next door, and when we're shopping. at 10 men. Completely holy, reaching out to touch the hem of the garment of this one Jewish man. It's amazing. It's astonishing. It's unbelievable. Yet we confess it and we believe it. We reach out to you, Jesus. Would you just ask him to help you to believe in him more? To believe how important he is? To believe how much he changed in this world and how much he is changing in this world and how much he's changing you? Would you just ask him to increase your faith today? Lord, increase my faith. Help me to know how important you are. Increase my faith, oh God. Increase my faith, Lord Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus. If you need prayer this morning, for whatever reason, if you need prayer about this message, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. If you're sick in body, you'd like to be prayed for as well, we'll just open up the altar. As you come, we'll leave with you. We'll pray with you. Stand with us. Let's just keep praying. We'll sing unto the Lord as you come. If you need to come, come. Thank you, Jesus.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea.
Lives in us, lives in us, lives in us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, worship your name, honor your name today. We love you. We trust you. We obey you. We need you. Lord, I just ask that you would go with every person. Every person here needs you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need your blessing. Just bless your people. Lord, we need your blessing upon our life. Lord, every person here needs your grace. Be gracious to every person here. Every person here needs your face to shine upon them, oh God. Every person here needs your peace, so give every person here your peace. And I just thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.